Now, this morning we covered that series, Anxious and Troubled. By some of your reactions tonight, I think I thought of another topic that we could cover in that series, Anxious About Handouts. I know, I haven't put the handouts out for the last 2 weeks, but don't worry, next Sunday I will get back on track, the handouts will be out, but given the two topics that we were discussing this morning and tonight, that's why the handouts weren't there, but you can grab one afterwards tonight. But tonight we are going to go over a lesson from the series, The God in Your Pocket. This is a series that I did in Vivian Road and that we've done in the young adult class here, talking about how our phone, and mainly, can be an idol in our life, but trust me, the application goes beyond just that of cell phones. It goes for any object, any person, anything that comes between us and God. And so maybe you're one that you don't have a smartphone, you don't even really know how to use your smartphone that you may have. Don't worry, there's going to be plenty of application this lesson for all of us, and I hope that you will benefit from it. Because the topic we're going over tonight is something that I think we all face, something that we all struggle with. We're going to be going over losing literacy. And think for a minute what I even mean by that. Losing literacy. What we're going to be talking about is exactly what that says. And what I don't mean is that we've lost our ability to read or to write and that we've become illiterate. But what I am saying is that we don't know how to read. You might be saying, well, you just said the same thing. Well, notice what I put the emphasis on. It's not that we are illiterate. You know, literacy is defined as the ability to read and write. But when we think about our phones and the impact that media and all this technology comes into play, that they have caused us to truly lose our ability to read in a way that we understand and we comprehend what we are going over. Our phones, whether we like it or not, they change the way that we read and the way that we digest information. We send one-word texts. We send short emails that are just so quick and so short. And that has a part to play when we try and sit down and read something that is lengthy and maybe a little bit more difficult. So much of our communication today can now be, described as that of emojis. Some of you may not even know what an emoji is. That's okay. You're better off for it. Just little symbols, little pictures, memes. This is the way that we communicate. Everything's shorthand now. And that's just the way that we communicate. It's become the social norm. It's messing with our attention spans, and now we are slowly losing our literacy, losing our ability to read. We need to understand the gravity of the situation. Why we're preaching this from the pulpit? Because this is not just a worldly issue that is happening. This is a spiritual issue. It can become a spiritual problem. Because we're reminded of passages like Romans 10 and verse 17 where it says, so faith comes from hearing and hearing from the word of Christ or through the word of God. You know, that's how we learn. We hear and we meditate on God's word that is our Bibles. And the time that this was penned, Romans 10 and verse 17, that Paul's writing this, not everybody had a New Testament copy in front of them. They didn't have something that they could just sit down and read upon. And today we're blessed that we can listen and we can follow along with the Word of God. We have digital copies that we can hear as it reads to us, but yet appreciate this passage. That our soul is fed by the Word of God. That it is through reading, the acquired skill of reading, that we increase our knowledge of God's will and that we become a people of resolve by what we read and by what we understand in the application of God's word. But when we allow any object, whether that's our phone, maybe it's another person, maybe it's the television, that gets in the way of our ability to read, our ability to grow, our ability to comprehend God's word, well, that's when it becomes an immediate effect. On our relationship with God, it becomes a spiritual issue. Another familiar passage along this line, and a lot of the songs that we sang tonight, and I appreciate Eric for leading those songs, have to deal with these two passages. Talking about the Word of God and the importance that is in our lives. Hebrews 4 and verse 12 speaks to the value of the Word of God that it ought to have in our lives. Hebrews 4 and verse 12. It says, for the Word of God is living and active. sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. That's the value, that's the power of the Word of God, that it's able. Not just able, that it should transform you in the way that you live your life. It's living, it's active, as the Hebrew writer described it. And we need to let God's Word have the full effect on us in our lives today. So you do a study on the Word of God throughout the Old and the New Testament, and it's amazing what you walk away with. That the Word of God, it also protects, it counsels, it guides, it prospers, it revives, it warns, nourishes, frees, makes you wise for salvation, profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness, and it thoroughly equips. But brethren, if we don't take the time to read, and I mean truly sit down and read and comprehend what we are going over, all the value of God's Word and what we've just described, well, that gets left to collect dust on our coffee table. That gets left to collect dust on the pew when we leave it here for services on the next Sunday. It's a sad situation if that is what we find ourselves doing. You know, we're so stimulated by all this technology, all these different distractions in the world today around us, that it comes at a cost. And this is the fallout of all of these distractions and all these blessings, as technology may be, but it does come at a cost. Consequence is that we're losing our ability to sit down and read. We can't even meditate properly on the Word of God. You know, we have a reading problem in this country. Whether we like to really admit it or not, we do. You know, I want you to think about this for a second. If I were to have you sit down, and maybe we were to do this right now, to sit down and read through the book of 2 Peter, three short chapters, I think for the most part, most of you would be able to do that. You could sit down, that would take you maybe 5-10 minutes. And you could probably understand a lot of what you're reading. But if you were to go and sit down and read the book of Romans, what would happen? That's 16 chapters, and even though they're shorter chapters, it's a little bit more complex. It's a little bit more meaty in some of those chapters to understand what Paul is talking about. And with that example, just understand the difference between a short reading and a longer reading, it reminds us that reading is an art. It's an acquired skill, that it takes conditioning, it takes practice, and you even have to have passion to be successful at readings. And our phones and all this technology, it removes some of the necessary attitudes for us to be effective readers, which again leads to a spiritual problem. You can learn a lot about God at Bible study and from sermons and from worship, but if you're not an active reader of God's Word outside of these walls, that's going to seriously stunt your spiritual growth. This is our reading problem that we're facing in this country, that people just aren't reading like they used to. They're not reading like they should. This chart just goes to show you how few people are reading books in the country today. About 41% and 47% of women admit that they're reading 1 to 2 books a year. That's what this scale is for, in a year. 3 to 6 range, you have 33% of men, 34% of women. 7 or more. About a fourth of all Americans are reading more than that number of books each year. Nearly 50% of men and women admitted in a study that their phones were a negative factor in their reading schedule. And that study was done with a number of 8,000 Christians who also admitted that only 8% of them read their Bible every day. And that's the reading problem that we're facing right now. Go to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2, please. It's going to tell us a little bit about what our attitude, what the proper mindset needs to be when it comes to reading and getting into the Word of God. Proverbs 2, beginning in verse 1, it says, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Solomon reminds us here in the first two chapters of Proverbs that acquiring knowledge and acquiring wisdom, reading the Word of God for us today, that's going to take time. That's going to take effort. Notice the different verbs that he uses here. Making your ear attentive, inclining your heart, calling out, raising your voice, seeking it like silver, searching for it like hidden treasure. That's how you find understanding. That's how you get wisdom. But I'll admit it, that I struggle with this. I struggle with this. I have a reading problem. I'm not an active reader as I should. But I'll also say I know how much of a problem this is from my experience up here. I don't have a lot of stats to back up what I'm about to say, but I do have years of experience being up here and what I've noticed when I'm reading from the Word of God. Any of you that maybe teach or preach in any capacity, you'll be able to appreciate what I'm about to say. If I were to open up the lesson tonight by going to Matthew chapter 5, go to Matthew 5 and read through that Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7, I'll tell you what would happen. We'd start that reading, and by the time we finished, some of you would be with me the whole way. Some of you, your heads would go down at the beginning, but your heads wouldn't come back up. Some of you would maybe be able to pick up parts of it, but not really be able to focus on all of what we were saying. And the reason I'm so passionate about not just this series, but this lesson in particular, about losing our literacy, losing our ability to read, is not just because it's something that I struggle with and I need to be reminded of, but I see it every time I get up here to preach. That our technology and all these distractions, and especially that of our phones, it's changed the way that we preach. It has changed the way that we even teach and conduct our Bible classes. That I can't get in the meaty text. I can't read large sections of Scripture at a time, not because it's so difficult and that it would go over people's head, but rather because we don't have the attention span and the ability to sit down and truly appreciate and understand what's being read. But this isn't a new problem. This isn't a new problem. Go to Hebrews chapter 5. And as you're turning there, think about the consequences of that. When we're not able to sit down and truly read and get into maybe those difficult sections of Scripture that we don't cover very often. When that happens, that makes for weak churches, that makes for weak Christians, and it makes for shallow Bible knowledge. And this is exactly what the Hebrew writer has to deal with in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 and 14. Where he says, in a section dealing with apostasy and people falling away from the truth, he writes this: "About this we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach to you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil." It reminds us that as children of God, we ought to be growing. We ought to be maturing in our knowledge and in our walk with the Lord. That's why it says, but solid food. That solid food is for those who are mature, that can handle those meatier sections. But one of the most harmful things that we can do in our life is fail to truly grow as we ought to as children of God. And that can come from a variety of ways, but as it relates to this lesson, what we're going over, when we don't have the ability to sit down and read God's Word, we are going to stay spiritually shallow in our knowledge of what God has called us to do and called us to live as. And if that's the case, then we're not properly learning. And that's the cost of losing our literacy. Nehemiah chapter 8, this passage might look familiar. We covered it last Sunday morning in our sermon on how to listen to a sermon, reminding us of what an attentive listener looks like. And this is as Ezra the high priest is getting up and he's reading the law of Moses to the people. And we'll pick up in verse 2 where it says, "So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, both men and women and all who could understand what they heard, on the first day of the seventh month," in verse 3, "and he read from it, facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday. in the presence of the men and women and those who could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. It's a text that puts us to shame. No, we can't sit through a lesson that starts to go over 30 minutes. And I say that a little bit, I have to be a little bit apologetic because my sermon did go a little bit longer than normal this morning. But what we think about that, this idea that they for 6 hours they sat there and listened to the Word of God being read to them. But yet today a preacher is boring if he doesn't tell funny jokes. If he doesn't tell good stories, it's boring to just listen to the Word of God. That's a direct sign of us losing our literacy, losing our ability to comprehend the Word of God, what we're here to meditate and learn from. And one reason that I believe this happens is that we are so keen on skim reading. We love to get the bullet points, you know, get the highlights, and we call that good. You know, that's what our phones really condition us to do. They turn us into they turn us into lazy readers who just read very quickly, and we want the main stuff, and then we move on. Now, we want the SparkNote edition. And for some of you that may not know what SparkNotes is, I think it used to be called Cliff Notes. Is that what it was called? Yeah, some of you are nodding. I didn't say that in Kansas City, and some of the older people are like, we don't know what SparkNotes is. It's Cliff Notes. So now everybody knows what we're talking about. We want the simple summary that so we don't have to sit down and read the entire thing. We just want, give me the abbreviated version, and that's good enough. Nicholas Carr, in his book called The Shallows, What the Internet is Doing to Our Brains, he said this, quote, "Once I was a scuba diver in the sea of words. Now I zip along the surface like a guy on a jet ski. We can hardly get submerged into the serious work of reading a book before we feel the desire to digitally surface and skim over easier waters." End quote. You know, there's serious consequences when that's our mentality, when we skim read with the Word of God. I mean, imagine if in preparation for my sermons I did that. If I was just skim reading passages. That's a recipe for disaster if that's the case. That's how Scripture gets distorted. That's how it gets misunderstood. That's how it gets misapplied. And you think about all the warnings throughout Scripture and all those passages that I just put up are in reference to false teachers. And Paul and the other New Testament writers were so cautious about making sure that we stick to sound doctrine, stick to the Word of God. And if we become lazy in our reading, lazy in our study and application of God's Word, well, that's a problem. You know, our Bibles make it pretty easy today. You know, you'll see it in your different chapter divisions. You know, you'll probably have a heading for different chapters. Sometimes that's about all that we read. You know, we skim over it. We see the highlight. We know what that section's talking about. That can't be the way that we read the Word of God. But also, we can't skim read because the biblical text, it's not always straightforward. That there's parts of the Bible that is very difficult to understand. And don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that you can only understand some things if a preacher, you know, walks you through it. That's not what I'm saying. But there are parts of the Scripture that are very difficult to understand. Remember last year when we did that series, Preaching Through the Prophets, we got to those books, you know, those minor prophets like Zechariah. That's difficult. That's not straightforward. You get into apocalyptic literature and apocalyptic language, that's tough to discern. And the different literary devices that are used, it's tough sometimes. Between the metaphors and the allegories and the parables and the prophecies, you don't get that by skim reading. You don't get that by just getting the bullet points. One author said, to appreciate the language and literary devices in the Bible, we have to deep dive into the divine text for our lifetime. But I want you to consider for a moment why we struggle reading so much. Why do we struggle with reading? I think the first and obvious one as it relates to the topic at hand is that our phones just make so much noise. Now, a blessing on living on the east side of Tampa here in Sefner is that we're only a 45-minute drive from Disney. And so one of my favorite things to do is I just love to pick up a good book and go to Disney and just read on a bench there. Some of you are looking at me like, that's crazy. Well, I'm glad you understand it, because that's the exact point I'm trying to make. There is no way that you can sit on a bench in Disney World and try and read and be able to understand. There's too many scents. There's too much noise. There's just too much commotion going on around you. And sometimes when we're trying to read a book, we're trying to read God's Word, and we have our phone right next to us constantly buzzing and beeping, the LED flash alerts and all the different notifications that are going off, it's the exact same thing. It makes it so difficult for us to focus when we have all this constant distraction coming out of our phone. And so we try to read, but it oftentimes doesn't end very well. We have it right next to us. We have our phone out. And so we have more pressing things that we end up reading, our texts, our emails, whatever it is that comes across the screen. And that's one of the main reasons why we struggle so much with reading, that our phone, it just drowns out the Word of God. But another reason why we maybe struggle with reading is because, let's face it, sometimes reading is not always fun. And I know that there's probably some of you that you love reading. From a child to where you are at now, you've never struggled with it. You love to pick up a book and it doesn't put you to sleep, it keeps you awake. But there are some of you that are like me. Sitting down with a book, oh, that's torture sometimes. I don't struggle that with God's Word, but any other book, yeah, right. The only way my parents could get me to read growing up was if they bribed me with the old Book It that Pizza Hut used to do, where if you read 30 minutes a day for a week, you'd get a Book It certificate for free pizza. That was the only way they got me to read. I hated it. And so that's why they laughed so hard when they found out that I wanted to be a preacher. They said, you know, you're going to have to do a lot of reading for that. And that's why I've learned it's an acquired skill, it's something that you have to apply. But we struggle with it because it's not always the most entertaining thing. We could be watching the TV. We could be playing sports. We could be sleeping. We could be eating. We could be working. We can do all these different things. And so we let God's Word just sit off to the side, and we don't open it. Another reason we might struggle with it is, I hear this a lot, well, I just don't have time. If we don't have time to read God's Word and we don't have time to pray, then we need to make time. We need to reprioritize our schedule. You know, think about it for a second. How long would it take you to sit down and read Matthew, the Revelation? How long do you think that would take you? No, they say at a normal pulpit reading pace, I don't know what that would be. It says it would take you about 18 hours to read the entire New Testament through. If you're a pretty fast reader, they say that in your head, reading silently, you could probably do it in anywhere from 12 to 14 hours. And yet, we say we don't have enough time to read, but yet the average American watches 30 hours of television each week. So maybe it is that it's not that we don't have the time, we're just putting it in different places. That maybe we need to step back and take a look at what we're making time for in our lives. That maybe we could do a better job reading and making the time for it. The 75% of smartphone users say that they look at their phone within the first 15 to 30 minutes of each day. Maybe we need to replace that with starting in God's Word and reading our Bibles. Our phone is distracting us. I think we've already addressed that. But fifth, maybe we struggle with reading because our attention span is worse than that of a goldfish. I mentioned that in the sermon last Sunday, again, that a goldfish has an attention span of about 8 to 10 seconds, and the human in the U.S. right now is at 7 seconds. Well, it's no wonder why we struggle to sit down and focus for any extended period of time when our mind is just going everywhere. And these problems, they all come into play as to why we struggle with reading. But I want to borrow some points by Brother Warren Berkeley as we go over some four levels of Bible reading that help us understand what our attitude needs to be toward the Word of God, how we approach God and His Word. And we always need to be reminded of the value of God's Word. And be turning over to Psalm 119. It's a chapter that highlights what we're talking about. And if we had the time and the attention, we would just read this whole chapter, but I'm not going to do that to you. And some of you that know this chapter off the top of your head will appreciate that joke. Psalm 119 is 176 verses. It won't even fit on 1, 2, or even 4 pages of your Bible. And it's a chapter that is devoted to God's revelation to man. It goes over the statutes of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord, the law of the Lord. It tells us what our attitude ought to be. And let's read verses 9 through, this should say 16, 9 through 16. It says, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word." This section, like the whole chapter, really. But verses 9 through 16 really highlight what our relationship with God's word ought to be like. That the focus is always on the word of God. And it seems like today that everybody wants a relationship with Christ, but not with his word. But you can't have a relationship with Christ without his word. That's how we understand what that relationship looks like. His word instructs me how I can please God and how that relationship ought to be, how I can put him on in baptism. And so we better make sure that we have proper view and attitude toward the word of God, lest we too lose our literacy. And I want you to be thinking about what level are you at as we look at these four levels of Bible reading. And the first level is reading God's word. Psalm 119, verse 18, the second part of that verse says, "I will not forget your word." Now, if we don't want to ever forget God's word, let it slip out of our mind, the obvious implication is that we're going to have to be diligent readers of the word of God. And yet, a study that I referenced earlier from the Huffington Post, they found that 50% of Americans read their Bible at least one time each year. 30% of Americans read their Bible at least once a month. And 8% of Christians, of Americans, read their Bible once a day. And yet an assumption that Jesus always made throughout the Gospels is that people had read. Matthew chapter 19, I just put down the whole chapter as a reference. That was the basis of his communication with the Pharisees and the leaders of that time. Have you not read? It's the starting place. You have to read to get understanding. Obviously, this is where it starts. You have to be reading God's word. Now, I can do my best as a preacher to familiarize you with God's word as I proclaim it, but if this is all that you're getting, that's not enough when it comes to reading God's word. We need to be like the Bereans, searching the scriptures daily in Acts 17:11. See if these things are so. We need to be immersed in God's word. But the second level goes beyond just reading. We need to not just be readers, but we need to also understand, reading with comprehension, what we are going over. That reading our Bible, it shouldn't be like just a checklist task, that we just rush through it real fast and get it over with. Imagine if you took your ACT like that, took your SAT like that. You wouldn't score very high because you're not reading in a way that you're actually going for comprehension, really being able to break down what you've just read. So are you increasing in knowledge with what you're reading? Are you comprehending the principle and not just the fact? When we understand God's word, that means that we've read his word over and over again. That we see the lessons of God's nature and how that relates to the man and how we fit into the picture. Like Psalm 119 and verse 104 says, "Through your precepts I get understanding." That understanding God's word, it's applying thought to what we have read. That we don't breeze through it and immediately forget what we've just read. That's how you study for a test in high school and college. You cram it all in and you puke it all up on the test and then it's out. It's out of your system forever. That should never be the way that we approach the word of God. It requires reflection. It requires meditation. And you don't need a Zen garden to do that. You just need time in the word of God. Like Philippians 4:8, where it says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think or meditate about these things." That's through serious thought and meditation that we absorb the word of God, that it may never depart. But reading God's word should be more than just reading and understanding. What about doing? Doing God's law is one of the most important parts of Psalm 119. It's how the psalm actually begins. In verse 1 where it says, "Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord." Walking signifies action, a way that somebody lives, the direction that they are going in. And that's the idea that James picks up on in James 1, verses 22 through 25. That you don't just be hearers only, but you do what? You have to be doers who act. And that's a sign of real maturity, of real growth, that when we develop beyond just reading and understanding, but we're able to put that into practice. Because we're doers of what we have been reading. That God and Christ, they expect us to be doers. But what more could be said than this? You know, that would make for a great three-point sermon. Reading, understanding, and doing. But I think this is maybe where we stop sometimes. In teaching our children and preaching sermons and instilling in our own lives that it needs to be more than reading and understanding and doing, that we need to make sure that we are loving God's Word. That we truly delight in His Word and His law and the value that it has for us in our life. I'll put a number of verses up here and you can find those on the handout afterward. That our heart needs to be involved when we're reading the Word of God. The previous levels that we've been talking about, that's the intellect, that's the memory, that's the will. But our affection and our heart, it needs to be involved as well. But I will warn you. That when you truly love God and His Word, it will change the way that you live. That you will adopt the mindset of God when it comes to what He loves and what He hates. Like Psalm 119 and verse 163, "I hate and abhor falsehood, but I love your law." That when we love and we are devoted to God's Word, we become intolerant of sin. We can't allow it in our lives. We can't allow it in the lives of our friends and family. It means that we're going to have to uphold the righteous works of God. And so we need to do a better job as preachers, as parents and friends of not just telling people proof texts or the five steps of salvation. Those are important. We need to make sure that we are truly fostering a love for God's Word and the value that it has in our lives. And as we finish, this won't take all but a minute. How can you maybe improve reading? Maybe you're like me, you struggle with reading. Can I give you just a few suggestions for how you might be able to improve? The first one is try paper, not pixels. Talking about get off the screen and maybe go old school. Psychologists compare digital and print comprehension using a short article of 1,000 words. And so what they did is they split the participants up into two groups. One group read it on paper, the other group read it on a digital screen, like a tablet or an iPad. Then they said that they had, I think it was 15 minutes to read it, and then they tested them for comprehension. After that study was concluded, they found that they scored almost identically. Then they did this study a second time, and they took away the time limit. And they said, read it, and then when you're done and ready, take the quiz. Who do you think scored higher the second time they did it? The paper study of that by a landslide. They absolutely slaughtered those that took it on a screen. Because as we've been mentioning in this lesson, that's what our phones condition us to do. That's what technology causes us to do. We go through it very fast. Everything's quick. We want the bullet points. And we're not really understanding what we're reading. And so if you want to improve your reading, and you're struggling with this, maybe it's time to go with a hard copy. But you know, it is interesting that studies have also shown that the older someone gets, the more likely a device will be helpful to them with reading. And the reason for that being is that these Bibles, hard copies, have small print. And so what people can do with devices is enlarge the font size, have a backlight so they can see it better. And so I see the value of both sides. Hey, I'm preaching off of a screen right now. But what I've learned in my life personally, it's most helpful to me when I can sit down with a hard copy. When I'm doing serious reading, my iPad's away. And maybe that will be helpful to you. Another suggestion is maybe implement a reading schedule. You know, we have one of those here. That might be a great thing to try. You know, please just don't do it like our New Year's resolutions, where we start, but then by February or March, we're done with them. That's not going to be helpful when it comes to God's Word. We need to get a schedule, and we need to stick to it. And an obvious implication of what we've been going over in this lesson today, keep your phone off. Keep your phone away from you when you are trying to read. Many of you know that I coach soccer over at Florida College, and I went to a study session to help some of my guys that were struggling in math. And you know what they did when we got to library is they put their phones out on the table right next to them. And they know how I feel about that. And the audacity that they had, I said, get those things off the table. And so I told them, I said, hey, when you're studying, take the phone away. It's amazing how quickly their test scores went up. And when we're reading God's Word, that's going to be very helpful for us. When we eliminate the distractions, turn the TV off, mute the radio, put our phone in the other room, focus on God's Word. And lastly, please slow down. I know sometimes I breeze through it when I'm up here preaching. I got a lot to get through, and so I'm going to read fast. But when we are reading on our own, we need to slow down. We need to make sure we are absorbing exactly what we are going over. One author said, God has given us the power of concentration for a reason. I think that's a wise observation that maybe we cannot, that we're guilty of overlooking. God's Word is powerful. But if we're not taking the time to read it and let it work in our lives, what good does it do then? And so I hope that this lesson will be beneficial to you in thinking about our reading, the reading of God's Word in our own lives. Making sure that we don't lose our literacy, that we don't lose our passion for God and His Word, that we need to be reading. We need to be reading because God and His Word, it points out problems. It points out that I have a sin problem. That this sin, it stains my soul in the eyes of God, and because of my sin, I'll never be holy. I'll never be able to dwell in the presence of a holy and righteous God. But it also points out the solution to our problem. That through Jesus and His sacrifice, we can be forgiven. We can have our sins washed away. And so if you're here tonight and you've been studying the Word of God and you've come to believe it, ready to act on your faith, repenting of the sins in your life, confessing Jesus as the Son of God, being baptized for the forgiveness of sins, if you're ready to begin your walk with Jesus tonight, we would be more than happy to assist you in that. Maybe you're here tonight and you are a child of God, but you've wandered away. You need to make changes in your life. We'd be more than happy to pray with you. If you're subject to heaven's invitation anyway, we invite you to come to the front as we stand and sing the song selected.